is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
Hello, everyone, and welcome to this episode of Locked On Cavaliers. I'm Chris Manning, your host from Fear the Sword and Hardwood Paroxysm. Today is a special podcast. I partnered with Josh Lloyd, who hosts the Locked On Fantasy Podcast and the Locked On Podcast Network, to talk about a little bit about fantasy basketball and just do a general Cavs season preview. Josh was the host of that show. You can find it on his channel, but he was kind enough to share the audio with me and let me share it directly to the Locked On Cavs audience, so you'll be able to check that out after the break. Just a few notes, had some computer problems earlier this week with production. The Mailbag Podcast will be going up tomorrow on Thursday, and then on Friday we'll be having a little division primer where I'll be going through the other four teams in the Central Division and just seeing how they stack up against the Cavs. So that'll be on Friday. Next week, we'll hope to have a couple guests on to preview some other teams in the Eastern Conference, and we have some bigger guests planned for the future. But again, today is a little special podcast courtesy of Josh Lloyd from Locked On Fantasy and the Locked On Podcast Network. And today's podcast is also brought to you by SeatGeek. Today's podcast is brought to you by SeatGeek. SeatGeek is the best way for you to buy and sell tickets right on your phone. You can get tickets to any concert or sporting event that you may want to go to. You can download it in 2 seconds on any smartphone, and the app's really easy to use. All the tickets are graded on based on the deal. All the tickets are graded based on the price and where they are. You can see exactly where your seat's going to be right in the app, so you know exactly what you're getting when you buy a ticket with SeatGeek. And my listeners today can also save $20 off their first purchase on SeatGeek by using the promo code LOCAVS. All you have to do to use that is go into the settings tab in the app, open it up, enter LOCAVS, and off your first SeatGeek purchase, you'll save $20. It'll come right off your order, you'll get the money, and you'll save $20 and go see your team win or go see a whatever concert you want to see. Myself, I'm using the app right now to get tickets for the upcoming Kanye West show in Cleveland. It's a hot ticket, and I'm just trying to make sure I get the best deal, and SeatGeek is the best way to do that. So again, the show is brought to you by SeatGeek, and we're partnering with Josh Lloyd from Locked On Fantasy today to talk Cleveland Cavaliers fantasy basketball. Hope you guys enjoy. I'll talk to you tomorrow for some mailbag and new stuff.
You are Locked On Cavaliers, your daily podcast on the Cleveland Cavaliers, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
There were moments during the shoot that I was a little uncomfortable with it, just with their parts in the nude stuff. Even in a creative standpoint, to know that my fiancée is nude, to get glimpses of that for the art, yeah, I get it. It's still uncomfortable for a man. Once they explained it over and over and over, they had to explain it to me. Yay, talk to me about it, and we got it done.
You are Locked On Fantasy Basketball, your daily podcast on fantasy basketball, part of the Locked On Podcast Network.
Hello, and welcome to the Locked On Fantasy Basketball podcast, brought to you by Fantrax and Basketball Monster. My name is Josh Lloyd, and you can follow me on Twitter at @RedRock_Beeball, as always. Today's podcast, another season preview show where we're going to be talking about the Cleveland Cavaliers. And to talk about everything involving the Cleveland Cavaliers, I'm joined by the host of the Locked On Cavs podcast, and that is Chris Manning. Chris, how are you?
I'm doing good. Happy to be on the show.
It's good to have you on. And Chris, the host of Locked On Cavs, as I mentioned, how's the show been going? What shows have you done recently, and what have you got upcoming?
Oh, you know, the show has been really good so far. The whole Locked On Network, I think, has been great. You know, it's good to have you in the network as well. We've had a lot of really good guests, like David Zavok from Fear the Sword, and we did a lot of Kyrie stuff, and we have more Kyrie stuff coming up. I'm hoping in the next couple weeks, depending on when this goes up, and maybe it's in the past, to have Matt Moore from CBS Sports and Mike Prada from SB Nation on the show, which is pretty cool, but I think like everybody else, I'm ready to get some actual basketball started, so we can get a little more in-depth on the Cavs.
We're not too far away from something happening. We're a month away from preseason. We're a couple of weeks away from training camp starting. So
let's get to it.
Let's talk about the Cleveland Cavaliers. As you would be well aware, Chris, and as everyone who's listened to this podcast would be well aware, that the Cleveland Cavaliers, they faced a Warriors team who'd won 73 games, and they also blew a 3-1 lead in the finals so that the Cavs could bring home their championship. I'm sure you're well aware of that fact, Chris.
Yeah, I'm glad you brought up the fact that the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in the finals, because I don't know if people have been aware of that.
I'm on Twitter often, and I don't really ever see anyone bring it up. It's never there that the Warriors blew a 3-1 lead in the finals, and I just had to get it. I've never said it before. I needed to get it off my chest. I needed to get it out there, so I just didn't feel left out of the basketball Twitter sphere. I needed to say that.
Should probably be talking about it more, I mean, to be honest. We just got to make sure we hammer that point home diligently over the next couple months.
I'm sure we won't hear it at all during this coming season. What we're doing in all these podcasts, Chris, is over on Basketball Monster, we're talking we've got 30 team previews. I've written a team preview for every team, obviously, and at the bottom of each of those previews, myself and Kyle and Matt, we've asked each of us a question. We've asked one question each, and we've all answered it. So it's a 30 questions series, and I'm getting those questions from the teams of what I'm doing on the podcast and asking my expert guests those same questions. So you're going to cop the three Cleveland questions here. The first one is, and some of them are fantasy related, which we can work through what that means for real life and get the fantasy impact of it. The first question that we ask on our 30 questions is, can Kyrie Irving be a top 20 player? So basically, he was a top 10 player in the first season when LeBron came back. He suffered a statistical down season last year, but there's plenty of reasons for that, Chris. How do you see him bouncing back this season? Does he get back to that 2014-15 level, or where does he settle in?
I think he can exceed the 2014-15 level, just because I think last year it was pretty clear, and he'd said this himself, that he was working himself back from the knee injury suffered in the first NBA Finals that he played in. He wasn't really healthy all last year, and I don't think he really got fully healthy until the playoffs. And I think this year, he's healthy. He was active all summer. He's going to come into camp in good shape. And I think with LeBron James probably going to having taken a little bit of a backseat in the regular season and just resting for the playoffs, I think there's a chance Kyrie just has a really, really big season. It's still LeBron's team, of course, but you look at Kyrie, I think if LeBron rests a little bit more, if Kyrie is fully healthy and he just kind of heads towards his peak a little bit more and maybe stops over-dribbling as much and maybe becomes a tad bit more efficient, I think there's a chance this is going to be Kyrie Irving's best season yet. I really, really think it's on the table that he has by far the best season of his career in 2016-17.
He's a guy in a fantasy situation you can get maybe in the third round, but he's a legit top 10 upside guy. I wanted to touch on what you mentioned there about LeBron taking a backseat, because that seems to be a narrative that's spread everywhere. I mentioned it a couple of times earlier on in the offseason, but I don't think we've ever seen anything come from LeBron himself or anyone involved with the team. It just feels like at this point it's somewhat of an assumption. And when there's things that are generally assumed or as a general narrative, I like to provide an alternative viewpoint to it by saying, okay, what if LeBron is pissed? Yeah, he's won the championship, Cleveland's won the title, and everyone's talking about how the Warriors are going to be unbeatable. Do you think that that Curry is the best player, or Durant, and they're unstoppable? Do you think that he could potentially go ahead and go, you know what, I want the MVP again, I want the number one seat, I want home court advantage all through the playoffs, and I'm going to show these guys who the best team is? Do you see him not taking a step back and actually just playing at a similar level to what he did last season and playing those 35 minutes a game and resting his 6 or 7 games, but not taking a significant step back?
I think that's certainly possible. I think you hit a good point there. I think we haven't seen him actually say, yeah, I'm going to rest more. We haven't seen the Cavs say, yeah, we're going to rest LeBron more on back-to-backs, and maybe he's not going to play any more than 5 back-to-backs all year. My whole theory, and I think this is everyone's theory, is that the key sort of isn't in full gear until the playoffs anyway. He isn't in full gear until he gets to the finals. I mean, just eye test alone, regardless of numbers, the LeBron James that played in the finals was a very, very different LeBron James than the one who played in the regular season. I mean, he was putting his jumper looked better. He was just creating chaos all over the court. I totally think there's a chance that he is the MVP next year. I think I believe he's the betting favorite. I believe he is a very good pick for that, because I just don't really see that scenario where a Warrior gets it this year because they added KD and Curry's there and all this stuff. And I think he's the best player in the world. I just wonder, and I just think it makes sense based on what we've seen. The logical extension of him moving forward is that he takes more time off, that he does rest a little bit. And I don't know how drastic it'll be, but we'll see.
We've got his projections for next season. Like in 15-16, he played 76 games at 36 minutes a night. We've got him at 74 games and 35 minutes a night. So yeah, I've got him taking somewhat of a step back, but in 35 minutes a game that he played after the All-Star break, he was the fourth best fantasy player because he was putting up ridiculous numbers at almost Miami-level efficiency at 56% from the field. He was shooting 38% from three on 3.5 attempts a game, and that's a 25-game sample size. So it's not huge, but it's also not tiny. He was really rolling in limited minutes, and that's what he was doing under Tyronn Lue. That's how he was going. So people who think that LeBron is going to take a step out of the top of the first round in fantasy, I cannot see that happening. I can't see him going from playing 36 minutes a night and just going, well, I'm going to be playing 32 minutes a night in 65 games. He's not going to be taking that drastic of a step back, and even with a step back of a minute a game, he's still a comfortable top 10 guy. As we saw in after the All-Star break, he was a top 5 player in those 35 minutes a night. So just don't buy overly into the LeBron resting narrative or handing the keys to Kyrie, because he can still be that guy who's a top 10 guy, and so can Kyrie. They've done it before. They've put up those numbers before. And yes, Kyrie will be at a higher level this year than last season, but it won't be that LeBron's just going to become passive and you cede all responsibility to Kyrie. I don't see that happening.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen either. But I think there will be games where you see LeBron does defer more than I think you'd expect him to. I think it's maybe not going to be as broad as I think some people think it would be, but I think they're going to see these little nuances of things with LeBron that I think are going to be really interesting to see where and when he cedes things to Kyrie.
Ace is the place with the helpful hardware, folks.
It's Ace's biggest LED light bulb sale of the year. Right now, buy one, get one free on our best-selling LED light bulbs. Our 4-pack of LED bulbs is $9.99, and our 2-pack of LED floodlights is only $12.99. Buy one, get one free. There's no limit on how much you can save, so stock up now. Hurry in. Buy one, get one free on long-lasting 10-year LED bulbs, now through Monday, only at your neighborhood Ace. See participating stores for details.
That was basically what our second question was going to be in this three-question series. Let's move on to the third one, and that is, who benefits the most from the 25 minutes a game that Matthew Dellavedova left on the table when he moved across to the Bucks this offseason?
This is something that I don't know yet. At the time that we're recording this, Mo Williams hasn't decided if he's going to retire or not yet. The Cavs didn't stretch him. They didn't just cut bait and give the position to Cave Felder. And considering what Mo Williams can do, has done, and the Cavs' tendency to really go with veterans, the logical choice is Mo Williams. But I'm going to make the case for Cave Felder. Cave Felder, the Cavs went out of their way to get him in a way that I think maybe hasn't been talked about enough. They spent over $2 million to get the pick to pick him. They had a point guard prospect in Cave Felder Quinn Cook, who played at Duke, who played with the Canton Charge, who has been in their system for about a year, who they kind of knew what they were getting. They could have signed him on a cheaper deal and not paid to pick Cave Felder, and yet they went and got Cave Felder anyway. They clearly like him. LeBron clearly likes him, and I think there's a very good chance that even if Mo Williams is on the team, Cave Felder might get the chance to really fill that role from day one, which is sort of kind of fascinating because I'm not exactly sure how he'll do. He's very small. He's not a great off-ball shooter. He can't really fill those same type of minutes Deli did, but it's there. And I think Amon Shumpert's another possibility, just because I think if I was Tyronn Lue, I would probably play Shump as a nominal one on those bench units where Dele really, really shined last year.
Yeah, and that's exactly what Dele was, because he played in those units a lot with LeBron as well, and he was not the ball handler. He was a spot-up guy, a defensive guy, and Shumpert will get that role. Basically, what you said is exactly what I had written initially for my answer to this question, is that, yeah, given the way that the Cavs rely on veterans, it's going to be Mo, but I'd say there's a 20% chance we see him play, given all the talk that's coming out, whether he retires or not. It just doesn't seem like... The fact that he opted into his player option means that there's something not working with his knee at all, because he could have, if he was healthy, he could have gone out there and, you know, re-signed with the Cavs, but on a bigger deal. But he obviously just knows that it's done. And even if he doesn't retire, I don't think he's going to be physically able to compete. Now, the point that you made about Felder is massive to me, and it's something that I've been going on about for a couple of years now. Whenever a team shells out money to buy a draft pick, there's a reason for it. They are going to use that player, and they're going to use him in a significant way, and they are heavily invested. We saw the Lakers do it two seasons ago with Jordan Clarkson. They bought that pick off the Wizards. They went and grabbed him because they said, we know we like this guy, and look how well they used him. The Warriors did it this year with Patrick McCaw, and he is going to play a significant role for that team, you know, replacing guys like Brandon Rush and Leandro Barbosa on the wing. He's going to play a role. And the same with Felder. When you buy a pick and you spend that money to buy the pick and then sign the guy basically immediately and he's going to be on the roster, it's because there's a role in mind and he's going to play a significant role. So I was a bit, you know, skeptical of it at first, but then you think about that, the fact that they bought that pick and the issues with Mo Williams. He's going to play a role. It's going to be more for fantasy, for deeper league sort of situations. But if Kyrie has to sit, you could see him playing, you know, 20-ish, 24, 25 minutes, and then they run with more LeBron at the one and some of that Shumpert stuff that we talked about earlier. But he is in for a significant rookie season. But the other option is, Chris, that the Cavs' backup point guard might not be on the roster yet.
That's, to me, one of the more interesting things that hasn't really come out yet. Obviously, because of who LeBron played with in Miami, immediately think Mario Chalmers and Norris Cole. But, you know, it seems like other reports are out there that Cole isn't on LeBron's agent anymore, which is hilarious and just sort of matters. Like, it actually matters in just a really funny way. Mario Chalmers is coming off an Achilles injury where I just don't really love the idea of a about 30-year-old point guard being your backup if he's coming off what is really the most devastating injury. People can suffer as an NBA player and has ended careers or will end careers forever. It's possible, I guess, but I don't look at the options out there and just think, okay, that guy, let's say it's Chalmers, is a clear upgrade over what Felder would potentially be. I just don't know if I believe that.
Yeah, look, I don't think that Norris Cole is good at all. I think he's one of the worst point guards that played in the NBA last season. There's a reason why it took until September for him to be signed as a restricted free agent by the Pelicans last year. It's a reason why he's still unsigned now. He's no good. And I would much rather run Felder out there and give him some experience, play him in units with LeBron, play him in those situations where he doesn't have massive responsibility. But he's a guy who can dish assists. He's going to have efficiency problems in his first season. There's almost no doubt about that. But he's an interesting, really deep league dynasty sort of player as a guy who might have a top 200 ceiling at some point, maybe a top 150 at some point in his career. But he's fun to watch. I'll give him that.
Yeah, I mean he and it would be cool if he did become a Cav just because he went to play to Cleveland State. He is a Cleveland guy. He's not from Cleveland, but he played college ball at Cleveland State, which is about a 10-minute walk, if even that.